gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some makeup on it. While I stand up in the back.
Good morning! Welcome to episode 23 of the TryGames.net podcast. I am your host, Mr. Chupon, a.k.a. Austin, on the site, and I'm speaking fast for no reason. We're here on October 15th, 2006, on the last day of the Digital Life Conference, and the weekend following Friday the 13th. What other notable things are there about this weekend? Nothing! To my virtual left and right, I have a bunch of idiots. Start off with Ethan. We have Pony Rico.
Whip downstairs, he whip my phone. Oh, you broke my fucking egg yolk.
What?
Oh my God.
What was that?
Oh.
Entertainment one. Okay, and then finally we have Alfred Jibs Antipode. Is that your Kill the Civilian song? Oh, we'll talk about that later. Ugh.
Here they come. Here they come.
All right, today we've got a whole shit butt of news, and we're just going to try to go through these really quickly. There was also the Digital Life Conference this weekend, starting on Thursday. Yay! And ending today. And yay! Contrary to previous years, there was quite a video game presence. Last year, the first year that I went in 2004, there was like a Best Buy van with like kiosks of NBA Live set up and like an Xbox or some shit. Mm-hmm. And then last year, there was Nintendo set up a small place where like people got to play Super Mario Strikers, which is a soccer game, in Mario Kart DS for the first time, which is pretty neat, but it was a small area. And Microsoft had a big presence there in terms of demoing the Xbox 360, but not having a hands-on, like people could try it. They didn't have that. They only had like a live stage demo, and they let one kid hold a controller to crash into a wall in Project Gotham. And then there was a bunch of Xbox kiosks with retail games, so you didn't see anything new, but you know, you got to play stuff. Guitar Hero was there last year, but in like a really small booth, and there was like one setup, and there were a couple of kids sitting on a beanbag chair playing it, and no one knew what it was. But this year, Guitar Hero got hugely popular, there were like 6 to 8 TVs set up with like lines forming. Xbox 360 had this big live arcade set up there that you could play some of the upcoming Xbox Live Arcade games that haven't been released yet. EA had a booth where they were showing off Madden for the Revolution, so like people got to see that for the first time who hadn't been to any trade shows. Konami had a booth set up. They were playing the Castlevania game that's not out yet. They were playing their Revolution game that wasn't out yet. Sony showed some of the PlayStation 3 stuff there. And you got to see Resistance Fall of Man. You also got to see how big the fucking thing is. It's like a freaking house. So, I mean, while it's nowhere near like a video game conference as we know it, like Tokyo Game Show or E3 or X06, it was pretty sizable compared to years past, and I'm hoping that in the future, you know, anyone from New York will get to see this thing grow into more of a video game presence than just consumer electronics. But we'll get to that in a second. First, what is new with everybody? Let's start alphabetically with Al.
Oh, nice.
I'm a little phlegmy this morning. You know, thanks, Ethan.
Ew!
I've been playing Diablo 3 pretty much on
Devo
and off.
2.
And just beat Dario without too much of a problem, which I'm very surprised about.
Hey, I already told you I wanted to play online.
Yeah, well,
I see you ducking.
What about email? You know, I work at night. By the time I get home, are you awake? 3 in the morning?
Dude, yes. I'm always awake.
We need to get you up to level 23 then. Soon.
Yeah, okay. I'm online.
Strengthen up that index finger, because all you're going to be doing is clicking. Piece of shit. Sorry. Fanboy. Me. Go ahead.
And, I was trying to... Well, I'm still trying to beat Dragon Quest VIII, and I'm now 18-something hours into it. And that's pretty fun. I did play the Final Fantasy XII demo, which came shipped with the Dragon Quest VIII game last Christmas.
Yeah.
For the first time yesterday.
Yeah.
Only because we were at Digital Life and Austin was playing Final Fantasy XII.
Yeah,
which
go
I would assume
later.
Is like the damn near final copy of the game.
Yeah.
Because all you do in the demo is like you choose either wait mode or active mode and you run around and kill stuff.
Okay.
And then once you beat the boss, they say, congratulations, this may not be the way it is in the final version. See you soon.
That's great.
In other words, thank you for playing the game. Get the fuck out!
Thank you for playing a Japanese game. Get the fuck out! definitely go into the demo later, but go ahead, Al.
Yeah, and I must say, I'm proud of myself. I finally beat Guitar Hero on Expert.
Nice.
After weeks and weeks of trying to beat Barked Moon, after I already did beat it once in quick play.
Sorry. I was sick of Beast and the Harlot. That shit was amazing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say what I'm looking forward to.
Right.
Now, I'm looking forward to Tuesday when Bully comes out.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to the 31st when FF12 comes out because I would definitely like to see how that story fleshes out, especially if the gameplay feels a little more intriguing than it does in the demo. Because in the demo, it's still, you know, your regular waiting around for your charge bar to go up and whatnot. But the story seems very, 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 very intriguing. Like, it's going to be interesting. Say the least. Then November, you know, you got Final Fantasy 3, you got Guitar Hero 2, you got the Wii, you got all the games that come with that. And it may be the Warcraft expansion may come out at the end of the month.
The Burning Crusade?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's after A? E. Ethan! that's what's new with you? Just...
Yeah, I mean, I've been really busy, so I haven't had a lot of time to play games, but I played, actually, Splinter Cell Chaos Theory in preparation for the 24th.
Okay.
Because that's really the game that I'm really looking forward to. That and Flight Sim X.
Is Flight Sim's coming out on that day as well?
Not on that day. This month. Wait.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I think so. Wait, might be already out. Hold on.
We saw, like we're going to talk about later, and like we told
October
17th. We did see, oh, that's like in 2 days.
Yep.
Sweet. There you go! But, like I'll discuss later, Al and I did see Double Agent at Digital Life, and I'll talk slightly about that. We don't have too many impressions because we only spent like 5 minutes with it, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. And what are you looking for? Oh, that is what you're looking forward to. Never mind.
Yeah, I really didn't play. I mean, I played, you know, Chaos Theory because I still haven't beaten it, so I'm trying to beat it before the new one comes out.
I haven't beaten Pandora yesterday.
Shame, shame, shame.
I told you what happened, right? I couldn't recover my save file. Like, it got corrupted, and I...
Yep.
Jeez. Oh,
I actually had a similar problem. Did you have too many save files?
No, what it was I tried to save my... Like, I did a reformat of my computer, so I put all my game saves in a directory.
Yep.
But it didn't want to read the old game saves.
That sucks.
So, the same thing happened to me with Medal of Honor Allied Assault way back in, like, 2001. Like, it didn't want to read the old saves, so...
That sucks.
Nowadays, they're getting a lot better about it. They stick saves in my documents, and they know that people reinstall, so they keep that in mind.
Warning, in Chaos Theory, anyone who's playing, if you save more than, I think it's 16 game files, you will stop being able to save game files. You will stop being able to see your old game files. The game will flip out, and they have never released a patch.
That's bad. See, yep, I mean, I always save over, like, I always keep one safety save and then save over, like, my main save, so I only keep two saves.
Well,
and I guess that makes it uninteresting, though, because if you want to show someone something, you have to, you know, but
yeah, it's
I'm just paranoid about that stuff.
Well, 16 is plenty. It's just, like, I would have liked to have known that before I exceeded
that
limit and then needed to basically start over and reinstall the game.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. What's after E.T.? Tony! Stay with you and shit.
Yeah,
crap.
All right.
Wait a
minute. One sec, I'm
about
to get
you went to Al first,
marriage
and
argument.
Then to me.
Yeah.
Ethan, shut the fuck
you.
Up! It's
Boston's
my turn!
Last. He's shy.
No, what he's doing first
name. No, it's
Tony. Always last.
Then Tony's after Al if he's doing last name.
Thank you.
No! Just go, Tony.
I don't understand.
I know, it's okay.
It's the China alphabet. Even though I'm not from China. Mexico! Ho! Alright, Toner.
Yeah.
Yeah! What's new with you?
I've been playing SimCity 4. Ethan,
really?
I found CDs. To be happy about that.
Nice.
What? You found them?
Yeah.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah, that's only after I broke into your house and took them from you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Where were they?
On your desk.
Okay, what the fuck, dude? I want that back, and I want my Action Pack CDs back.
Do you know?
notice something missing from your collection.
Oh, man.
Is a breeze coming through from that window that you thought was closed?
Did you steal Vanessa's vibrator?
Did you steal Vanessa's vibrator?
No, I have no need for
Call
that,
but... Tony Rico Pagan's Theft Service, and he'll but take now? All your stuff to Puerto Rico for you. 1-888 Puerto Rico 7777. Punto, 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 punto.
Hello! My name Austin! You want Chinese food?
Call! Yeah, but I can't ship all your stuff all the way to Taiwan because that's too long
of a
flight.
Ship it. You can ship it anywhere you want.
I don't
anyway,
want to.
Hey! My turn! Anyway, yeah, so, and I was also playing Diablo 2, but since Al is ducking me, I think
I am not. I want some communique.
Okay.
I want what's coming to me. Eddie!
And what I'm looking forward to, and believe it or not, even though I gave it a hugely bad review, I'm looking forward to Grand Theft Auto Vice Series, Vice City Stories for the PSP. And that's coming out on the 31st. And unfortunately, everybody's going to look and, you know, say, well, why the fuck do you want to buy that? And the reason is, they have actual music on this one. They have actual good shit. You know, y'all go to the website and you can hear samples from either the commercials or the music, and you'll see exactly what's on that CD, which is a huge leap and bound from Vice City Stories. I mean, Liberty City Stories. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, and that's it.
Bored. No, I'm kidding. That's actually, I mean, for the PSP, it's about time they get some blockbusters. I mean, the, a lot of people saying that they don't have titles, so, I mean, it's good for them. Oh, what am I playing? I would like to say I've been playing Guitar Hero 2, but that kind of doesn't count because I have to go all the way down to Digital Life to play it.
Mm-hmm.
But that really has been what I've been playing. Like, I haven't really touched anything this week.
So every day that you were there, you went and played Guitar Hero 3.
Friday I went, Al and I played it. We played about 5 songs. Yesterday I went and I played 2 songs. But other than that, yeah, I really haven't been playing much. I guess you could say the Guitar Hero 2 demo, which I got with the PlayStation magazine, which I almost immediately threw away before I saw some Oblivion screenshots.
Uh-huh. I threw it on the ground after I took out the Guitar Hero CD.
Yeah.
Then my friend picked it up and read it all.
Oh.
And I said, can I have my magazine back? And he said, sure.
No, that's a good commercial right
Sharing
there.
Sharing is caring. Your friend is not fulfilled. And that's another thing, you know, it's been announced for a while, and we haven't really touched on it. Oblivion being a launch title, you know, now I know that people have already been playing it on 360 and on the PC, but, like, for anyone who doesn't have a high-end PC and stubbornly waited for a PS3 and didn't get a 360, Oblivion is big news. So, you know, that's good for them to have it.
Mm-hmm.
It looks great. It plays great. You know, you can play it with a storyline. You can play it off the side and, like, not really follow the story.
Is that the one that takes 23 gigs on a Blu-ray disc?
No. That's Resistance Fallen Man.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a good win for Sony. And it's good to hear that, you know, shit isn't bleak. But I don't know. What am I looking forward to? There's too much shit now, yeah. I mean, like Al said, there's Guitar Hero 2. There's a freaking Nintendo launch. I mean, I actually do want to go on Friday and see the people line up for PS3s. I want to see that.
You didn't reserve mine, right?
Wasn't able to, yeah. They wouldn't let me.
That sucks.
Yeah. Oh yeah, anybody in the New York City area, familiar with the Nintendo World Store on 48th Street and Rockefeller Plaza, they are taking pre-orders. It requires $50 down payment. You can pay it all off on the spot if you want. Depending on who is there, depending on what staff is there, you may be able to take a pre-order for a friend. He will have to come with his ID and credit card on launch day to pick it up, but you can still get the pre-order for your friend if he's not there, today. And that depends on what staff is there, because when I went there the first time, I was able to get one for myself and one for Al. When I went there the second time, like a couple of hours later, they wouldn't let me get one for Ethan, so just be aware of that.
Ethan.
You know, just
come on,
just
that was a personal choice.
Just to be safe, just to be safe, make sure that you go there with a friend. And if he's not there,
take a buddy.
What I'm saying, go there with a friend who wants one. You know, so that you won't run into that fucking loophole.
Pick anybody.
Anybody balls. But yeah, they are taking pre-orders, and it's not very publicized. Which
will
is
they take pre-orders tomorrow or no?
They will be taking pre-orders throughout. Just go and get it.
All right, I'm going
to
go tomorrow.
It is not
I'm
like
sure
GameStop.
They'll have enough to cover.
It's not like GameStop where you have to be there and you have to sit there and wonder, have they sold out? Are there a lot of 15 units? Or am I going to get one of it? Just go,
six.
Ask. There are like two people in the store when I went at like 1 p.m. at lunchtime. So,
all right, sweet. I'll just go over there tomorrow then.
I'm pretty sure that it being the official store of the company, it will have quite a few units to go around.
Okay.
When I went there, they said... you're guaranteed to get one if you put $50 down right now. That may change depending on how many people flock to the store. If, like, a zillion people fly in from fucking Arizona because they can't get one of their EB GameStop, and they go to New York and say, yeah, can I put $50 down? And they're coming in from Arizona and, like, New Mexico.
They did that
and...
for
what? Oh, yeah, that's right. They did fly in for Miyamoto. But see, the thing is that they wouldn't have to fly back to pick up something. So, you know, but yeah, so it is there. It's World Store. If you have a friend in New York City... and you think they can ship it to you, get him to buy it. But make sure you get dibs on that friend first before your other mutual friend gets dibs on him. Nice!
That sounds so gay. Get dibs on your friend before
you
your
know,
other friend
that's,
did.
He takes that as like a gay mating call. Listen, Ethan, it's not going to happen, all right?
It is going to happen, Tony. You want it, I want it. Let's get it done.
Sluggo! Okay, getting on to a little bit of news.
Hey, wait, can I just interject with a piece of news that has nothing to do with video games?
No! What is it?
Please.
No!
At 7:46 Eastern Time on Tuesday morning, the United States will become a nation of 300 million people, the U.S. Census Bureau estimates. Fueled by an estimated net gain of one person every 11 seconds, America already has the world's third most populous country.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? One person every 11 seconds.
Imagine that's some cool. Sex in there.
We are like fucking rabbits.
Seriously, that's disgusting.
Okay.
Sorry, go on.
Moving on to actual news that matters for nerds. Let's see. A little bit of somber news first. Clover Studios is quote-unquote dead. Capcom kind of Capcom kind of dissolved the studio. Are you guys familiar with Clover's works? And if you're not, you better get on the ball.
I sure as hell am.
Well, you I know.
I don't
you're
like
Japanese.
Their games. I'm glad they're closing.
Me love it. Godahan.
Tony, do you know what they've done?
Oh, hell no.
Well,
no.
Capcom opened Clover and funded Clover and sent over two of their top lead designers to oversee the studio. Made up of some of the guys who made Resident Evil, made the Resident Evil series, so you know they're good people. Uh-huh. They created some kind of innovative and less market-friendly games, and by that I mean if you look at the sales numbers, their games sold like shit, which is why they shut down.
Okay.
But
what games?
The first ones that they came out with was Beautiful Joe, and I believe
Beautiful Joe. You like that game?
I
didn't like it.
I don't even think I showed it to you guys.
PS2.
No, I played it.
Oh, that's the second one. Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, that
I played
is
the
like,
second one. I played the second one, not the first one.
They're both good. but they're both pretty much like old school brawlers with like a huge like puzzle twist, and you know you've got the ability to control time and shit. Well, yeah, you can speed up time and slow it down, and you have to use that to solve puzzles. And you know, really, it's one of the designs that really should have been recognized more than it was, and hardly anybody bought it. And so they brought it to PS2 because they thought it was because GameCube didn't have enough market, which is bullshit because the PS2 sales were even worse than the GameCube sales. So. That's just on account of people not knowing what good stuff is. They also made this game called Okami, which just came out a few weeks ago on the PS2. I think I may have shown you guys a little bit of it, like a little bit of articles on it, where you can actually bring this like brush and like paint stuff onto the screen for
no,
some gameplay elements.
No,
oh, it's really really excellent looking. I want to get into that. Al, what else did they make besides God Hand and those two?
That's pretty much all they're really known for. I don't really remember anything else.
Okay, so I think they made four games. Beautiful Joe 2, Okami and God Hand, which is basically like an old school, like piss poorly designed but incredibly addictive and fun brawler. You just beat the shit out of people. It is crazy. You guys got to see some gameplay videos of that. But yeah, because they didn't sell well, Capcom dissolved the studio. You know, and it's smart business, but it just kind of sucks. Now the thing is, it's been, and I haven't followed up on this story yet since Wednesday when I saw it. But they're saying that some of the top brass in that studio wanted to break off and form an independent studio on its own. So that may be one of the reasons why they dissolved.
Info on that.
Oh, go ahead, Al.
I don't really have the names because I'm not really at computer access right now. But there were two guys. One was,
that dude.
Well, the other two were not Shinji Mikami. Mikami's still working with Capcom as an independent contractor, and the other two left the company in June and July.
Oh, okay.
So that may have had something to do with it.
They left Clover, and or they left Capcom?
They left Clover and Capcom.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, well, that was in June or July, though, so we'll have to see what comes out of that. Hopefully something good. But I would like to see them up and running again. I would like to see some publisher give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I understand that it's hard to really, like, support a studio that doesn't get any games that sell too well, but, I mean, that's where we get the Killer Sevens and the Beautiful Joes and the Okamis from. You know, Capcom has enough Street Fighters to milk their way to fucking, you know, cow heaven, alright? They've got Resident Evil everywhere, they've got, you know, all these big-selling titles, they can, you know, that's where the funds for those small games come from. It's like a movie, it's like movie business, you know? So, hopefully somebody picks them up. Let's get on to some more console-oriented news. Let's start off with Sony. The eBay avalanche began with PS3 pre-orders, but it immediately got yanked.
Really?
Yeah. It was going up to $2,000, but then, like, eBay was examining it, and they found that, like, it was violating one of the rules wherein if you, what is the rule?
There's a percentage over the market price you're not allowed to charge, right? Same thing.
It wasn't that rule. Oh. It wasn't that rule, because people have gotten scot-free with all that shit. But it was like, if you can't promise and guarantee to ship what you're selling within 30 days of auction end, they will blast your auction. And considering that the PS3 at the point in time when all those auctions went up wouldn't be out for 30 days, you know, buying that pre-order and then, like, after 30 days the PS3 still wouldn't have been out, so they wouldn't be able to ship it. So eBay kind of, like, stomped down on that order. Stomped down on those auctions. Now, I don't know if they're going to do anything when people, like, I don't know, in like 2 weeks they put up their auctions again, right? Because that'll be within the 30-day limit. I don't know if they're going to find some other thing in the rules that say you can't do this, but, I mean, people have sold Xbox 360s for like $1,000 before, so, you know, they probably won't be able to do anything when these things go up.
Did you hear about the pictures?
Are they selling pictures of PS3s?
I don't know, but I just read the story about the pictures of the Xbox 360 for like $800. I'm like, oh, that's so messed up.
Somebody sold an Xbox 360 box for like $300.
Awesome.
Ethan's, the next one is Ethan's, the one that Ethan pointed out with the survey. Ethan, you want to take this one?
Sure. This company, Interpret, which is it looks like an independent research firm based in Los Angeles. I'll just read the little intro here.
Okay.
According to the study by Los Angeles-based Interpret, 8.9 million U.S. consumers were, quote-unquote, prepared to pay for full price, $500 or $600, for the PlayStation 3 this fall, compared to 5.7 million consumers who were willing to buy Wii at $250, and just 800,000 people who are willing to pay full price for Xbox 360, $300 to $400. So it was basically kind of the first study coming out that has reassured Sony marketers that there is demand for their system at the price that they're releasing it.
Yeah, but at the millions.
I'm sorry?
Which means that if they had this research like months before, listen, if this is a reputed company that is doing this survey, right? Wouldn't Sony have benefited from this news like a year or two ago?
Well, Sony probably conducted their own focus groups and probably had research showing either exactly the same thing or numbers that made sense, otherwise they wouldn't have priced it that way. But we looked, you know, we took a quick look at the research firm just to make sure there weren't any Sony ties, and one of the guys did work at Sony for a brief period of time, but...
it's Ken Kutaragi in white skin.
Yeah. White skin. White face.
This is a racial episode of the podcast.
Oh, God.
But
we all love each other, by the way, people.
We do.
It's all in good
platonic.
No. There's some gay shit.
Maybe even more. Who knows?
Oh God, I don't know about you.
most likely the research firm's valid, and most likely the research is valid, and their 2,000 interviews over the phone, they're weighting as like 8.9 million people. So whether or not, you know, how good that math is and how good the questionnaires were, we'll never know. But it's interesting to see a survey come out that even
we
at that price,
never know.
People are interested in buying it. And Austin was saying, you know, how that testifies to the power of the brand of Sony.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, like, as a skeptic, you know, sometimes I look at these surveys and I'm like, bullshit, you know. It's
right.
they always have some kind of spin to it. Like, back when, you know, Nintendo was touting how successful the Game Boy Advance was, and they're like, we've outsold the iPod by, like, X number of million units. And I'm like, dude, they're totally fucking different things. A kid is going to ask to buy a Game Boy Advance. A 5-year-old kid is not going to be able to know how to work an iPod. And the iPod is like $400, and a Game Boy Advance is like $100. So there's always these things that people like to spin, and I'm thinking that because, like, as a result of this survey, you know, people who they call up who don't really know that much about games, but they know the PlayStation brand for what it is, and they know the Nintendo brand for what it is. So when the surveyor taker, like, gets on the phone with this guy who doesn't really know that much and says, blah, 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 you're prepared to pay X amount for Sony's PlayStation and X amount for Nintendo's, you know, Revolution thingy, and, you know, they kind of think, well, Nintendo is usually for my son and daughter and, you know, that whatever. I don't care too much about that. I'll buy it for them, but not for myself. But this Sony thing, that's what all the people are buying nowadays, isn't it? The Sony PlayStationing thingy?
Yeah, I mean, the other question
is... Yeah, that
is,
sounds cool. So, you know, well, I'm sorry, I'll be done really quick.
Sure,
but,
sure.
Like, while that is the skeptic in me saying, like, yeah, these guys don't know shit, that still speaks to the fact that Sony is out there and it shows... And people know that it is, like, a heavyweight. And people know that, you know, it is the quote-unquote cool thing to own. So even people who don't know that much about games know the Sony brand, and, like, that is how powerful it is. Now, I'm not willing to go as far to say... What David Yarton is it David Yarton? I don't know what his name is. He might be the Nintendo guy in Europe, but the Sony Europe guy was like, "Yes, people will buy the PlayStation 3 based on our name and name alone, with no games, even if we had no games." I think that's total bullshit and like hubris, but it is a pretty powerful brand. Now, Ethan, I'm sorry, you were going to say something.
No problem. I was just going to clarify on how the research was done, because I think we actually kind of messed it up before. Basically, they did an online survey. And then they backed it up by doing a phone interview.
Okay.
So they verified the online results with a sample of 2,000 other calls. So that was the parallel random digidial telephone study. That's the backup to weigh the data against the online survey.
Okay.
What I find interesting is, even if they... So they're doing the census data. They're weighing against the 2004 census. So I assume that means they need, like, X number of 13-year-olds, X number of 14-year-olds, X number of 15-year-olds, all the way to 54, based on the census. The problem is whether or not a 13- to 16-year-old is going to pay $500 or $600 for a system is probably useless data.
Right.
Because they know it's not their money.
Right.
So, actually, you may be able to toss out a bunch of the results based on whatever a 13-, 14-, 15-, and 16-year-old said. They don't have any money.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Unless they got jobs.
Unless they got jobs, and I don't know many 13-year-olds.
Unless they have the
jobs.
Freaking richest parents who live up in fucking Hamptons.
No,
right.
I mean,
so, like, I mean, you assume that also they're doing this based on region, too. Somebody in New York is different than somebody in Iowa.
Right.
So I don't know. Again, like, there's a lot of unknowns. It would have been really helpful to see, like, the regional specifics.
Well,
or even to see a question like, okay, yeah, you're willing to buy it. Do you think that price point is high, and why?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And see the results of that question.
Here's the thing, Ethan. I have to be cynical on this, because it starts off with 8.9 million U.S. consumers are prepared, in quotes, prepared That's a, first of all, 8.9, it's being, I think it's being very generous. I don't think this system has generated the quite the amount of excitement that it should have had it had everything working and you know, publicized it you know, as a system that is not without problems. But for $500, $600, 8.9 million people, I don't know. I don't think so. At launch, nonetheless.
I would tend to think that it's fairly close.
I don't know. I don't think so. I really don't. They certainly didn't call me, so that's what it all comes down to. All right, there you go. All
right, moving on. Next piece of Sony news is the PS3 does not ship with HDMI cables, and it doesn't ship with... Well, we've known that, but it also doesn't ship with component either, which is kind of strange. I mean, the Xbox 360 came with component cables bundled inside the box if you bought the premium system. But the PS3 doesn't. Now, the good thing is, though, is that if you own the PS2 component cable, you can plug it right in. So hopefully that shouldn't be a problem. This is not, like, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because people are going to jump on Sony for this. But if you wanted high definition, you probably own a PS2 component cable. So there's no reason why they would have to, you know, provide it in the box. But at the same time, you'd think that they'd, you know, kind of throw you a bone. You know, for people who don't have their PS2s anymore, who sold it and stuff. But in any case, if you have a PS2, sell it without selling your component cable. Save it for the PS3. It's not going to come with it, but you can still use the old ones. Next item, PS3s sold the fuck out earlier this week. Like, as soon as the news went up that, hey, yeah, EBs and GameStops are taking pre-orders, they were gone.
Wow.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that, like, people were lining up and shit.
I mean, oh, granted, there was only like 6 per store. As much as, like, 15 somewhere else.
Yeah, but it's just funny that, like, it's kind of like the morning after the news came out, people were, like, online. Like, right there. But, yeah, what's shady is that they've got, you know, employee stash. So, like, 2 per store were being reserved for employees. So every store was supposed to get 8.
Mm-hmm.
Now they get 6 because 2 are being saved for employees. And, you know, the employees probably aren't even going to keep it. They're probably going to, like, you know, sell it on eBay. There's nothing that will stop, you know, an employee from opening the door for his friend or family and saying, hey, come in for a second, I need to show you something, and then, like, take their pre-order and not, like, take anyone else's pre-order. So that's,
well,
you know,
also, they're getting it at a discount, too, so.
Are they? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's an
employees have a discount.
Huh?
The employees have a discount.
For consoles?
I believe so. A friend of mine used to work there, and he... Let's see. I don't think I knew him through any console launches, though. But I know that they do get discounts off of software and stuff, like 15% or something like that.
Okay, I highly doubt that they would discount consoles, because those are a huge thing. Like, anytime I see deals on, like, Best Buy and GameStop and, like, you know, used deals on used goods and all that shit, like, consoles are always excluded. But employee discounts are different, so maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty incredible. It just went right out the door, and apparently the, you know, Nintendo's going down a similar route, not as drastic, but surprisingly similar. Like, I was talking to Mozart the other day. By the way, the guy who took his stuff got caught in another state. So.
Oh, you're kidding.
He did?
Yeah, but he got caught in another state, so I don't know if he's gonna get his, you know.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
hopefully. You know who it is?
Yeah, I mean, he's known who it was. The police wasn't doing shit about it, but he knew who it was, and then they caught him in another state.
How did
for doing something else. Huh?
How did they know who it was? How did he know who it was?
He, there was someone who lived in this building who he was staying with this guy. He was staying with the guy who was, the criminal was staying with someone he knew in the building.
Dude, he can absolutely get him to face charges for that in his state. He should do something
hopefully,
about
hopefully.
It.
It's just that, like, yeah, I mean, his collection is still gone.
No, I know, but at least
he'll get his, hopefully. But anyway, so I was talking to him online, and he said he ran down to, like, right after, not even after work, like, during work, like, at 10:30 in the morning, he ran down to, like, a GameStop to reserve something, and he had to, like, pay some guy to get off the line to get his last pre-order in. And that is, like, surprising to me, because everyone was like, oh, we're going to have plenty of, you know, pre-orders for Nintendo. Not pre-orders, but Nintendo's like, we're going to have plenty of stock. So you'd assume that they would, you know, have more units. But at the same time, if you think about it, like, mathematically, It's going to launch with about 1 million units, or so that's what they say. I know they're producing more than they plan to sell initially, but like they're going to have like 1 million at launch. That's the official number so far, right?
Uh-huh.
And PS3 has 400,000 at launch. Now, that means Nintendo has more than twice as many, but you know, if they're going to be six PS3s in stores, then twice of that is like more than twice of that is like maybe 14 or 15, right, mm-hmm. per store. In the grand scheme of things, while that's percentage-wise, that's much more, it's not that much more. It's, what, six people versus 14 people, right, per store? So if you're running down to a store and you're number 17 in line, you're screwed for both. You know, you're not going to get either of them. So, you know, it's kind of dire out there. But, like, you know, in New York, you know, I just walked in and I was like, hey, pre-order? Yeah, $50. Okay. Can anyone for Al? Yeah, sure, $50. Came back in later. Can anyone for Ethan? No. But you know,
they hate me.
They knew Ethan.
They hate me.
But dude, I'm sure that if you walk in tomorrow during lunch, like they will still have plenty.
Yeah,
to,
I'm gonna go. I'm just gonna go over there tomorrow.
Yeah, let me know how it works. Let me know how it goes out.
I will. I'm also just out of curiosity, gonna ask if I can reserve one for a friend just to see how it goes.
Yeah. See what they say.
I'm just curious.
Because, like, again, it might depend on who is on staff at the store. Because the other guy was like, I can't really do that. They weren't supposed to do that. But I don't know if he went to them. Because I didn't tell him who gave me the double pre-order.
Mm.
You know, in case anybody else wanted. I don't want to fuck it over for them. So I was like, some random guy. I don't know. But let's see. Next piece of news. The Guitar Hero 2 tracks revealed for PS2. Al, you want to take this one? This is your little baby close to your heart?
Well,
good one.
No,
nice.
Only because I'm not able to access the information at the moment.
Ugh, useless.
But I can comment on that.
One second. Oh God.
Okay. Let me just comment. First of all, they have Danzig's Mother, which is I can't tell you how much I hate that song. I can't even begin to express my
you are
absolute
beginning.
Hatred for that.
And, you are beginning.
listen, we've got also Kiss Strutter. I hate that song.
Yeah, but it's fun to play. It is fun to play.
Okay.
I mean, the thing you have to take into perspective is that, like, while these songs may sound... Like, I don't like metal at all. I really dislike it.
No, I totally understand.
But playing it in the game is really fun. So, like, you know... what I'm saying for you is, like, it's fine if you hate the song, but, like, don't, like... you don't have to worry about not having fun with the game because you probably will have fun still.
Well, people are entitled to my opinion, so I'm just going to give.
No. I think again, I think it's perfectly fine for you not to like the song. What I'm saying is that, in terms of like you being afraid if you're not going to enjoy the game, you probably still will. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So you don't have anything to worry about in that respect.
Right.
It's all about
they
Tony.
Have a really,
it's all
really,
for you.
It is all. No, they have a really, really huge lineup, and all of these are just remade. All of these are in studio.
I believe they are covers. I believe.
Wow.
But they did a really good imitation of "Sweet Child of Mine." Like it really sounded
really?
Like Axl Rose.
Wow,
yeah,
that's
really good.
That's
gonna
be a hard song.
That was actually pretty easy.
Wow, sweet child of mine.
It was. It was
in terms of singing.
Yeah. Oh, but in terms of playing or singing. Voice. Are you saying, Tony? Are you saying in terms of singing or playing?
No. I'm talking about playing. Like I can't see the difficulty level on playing Mother or Nirvana's right. Heart-Shaped Box.
Have you heard the solo to that? No, I will
like,
say right now though that Sweet Child of Mine is relatively easy.
I would say that like a lot of the songs are relatively easy.
These must be like the novice level on songs because these songs are horrible.
No, it's as it goes, like, from top to bottom is how increasing in difficulty.
Really? Oh, yeah. My God. Okay, they
yeah.
must have done
I mean,
something
basically, like, the last four songs are either metal or crazy solos or really fast notes. Because you got Beast in the Harlot, Mizzaloo, Institutionalized, Hangar 18.
Oh, God, Mizzaloo. Oh, jeez. Oh man, we'll talk about this later when we talk about Digital Life, but oh man. But for people out there who don't know the list. Opening licks, Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil, Danzig, Mother, Cheap Trick, Surrender, Wolf Mother's Woman, Spinal Tap's Tonight I'm Gonna Rock You Tonight.
Oh, sweet.
The second section, Kiss's Strutter,
Butter.
Nirvana's Heart-Shaped Box, Police's Message
easy,
in a Bottle, and we played that at Digital Life, and I played the rhythm or bass, and that was boring
bass.
As hell.
It was really easy.
Van Halen, You Really Got Me, which isn't really a Van Halen song. Kansas, Carry On Wayward Son, which actually sounded fun to play. It was easy, but it sounded fun to play. Third section is Foo Fighters, Monkey Wrench. Alice in Chains, Them Bones. Iggy Pop and the Stooges, Search and Destroy. The Pretenders, Tattooed Love Boys. Black Sabbath's War Pigs. Fourth section, Warrant's Cherry Pie. Butthole Surfer's Who Was in My Room Last Night. Matthew Sweet's Girlfriend. Rolling Stones, Can't You Hear Me Knocking. And Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine, which was really fun to play, but was also very easy.
Where's the Richard Marx?
Maybe it's down there somewhere, but I don't know. Fifth section, I have no idea. I don't know the genre, but Rage Against the Machines, Killing in the Name of, Primus's John the Fisherman, Swords Freya, Thin Lizzy's Bad Reputation, Aerosmith's Last Child. Six sections. Wow, this has a lot of songs. Like, this
does have a lot of
10 more songs than
the
previous one. Yeah. Six sections. Hearts, Crazy on You, Stone Temple Pilots, Tripping on a Hole in a Paper Heart, Stray Cats, Rock This Town, The Allman Brothers, Jessica, Jane's Addiction's Stop, the seventh section, Anthrax's Madhouse, The Living End's Carry Me Home, Lamb of God's Lay to Rest, Reverend Horton Heat, Psychobilly Freakout, and one of my personal favorites, Rush's YYZ, which is in the seventh section, but dude, you and I own this one.
Yeah, that's because we're that good at the game.
Oh, okay. Like, on the first sight read, like, I did well on this.
Yeah.
The last section here. Avenged Sevenfold's Beast and the Harlot. Al and I played this at Digital Life, and as much as we probably impressed all the newbies out there, this was fucking hard.
Yeah, it's still fucking hard.
Suicidal Tendencies Institutionalized. Dick Dale's Miserloo, whatever. Megadeth's Hangar 18. This is second to last. This has got to be hard. And then Freebird. Freebird! Play Freebird! Well, now you get to play Freebird.
Thank God.
And it is fucking hard. I didn't see anybody play it at the conference, but I've seen gameplay video of it. It's hard on hard. I can't imagine what it's going to be like on expert.
And it's the full length too, right?
Yeah, the full length. Like, it starts out simple. And like the guy who was demoing it was like, yeah, this is the easy part, and then everyone was like falling asleep, and then he was like, okay, now it gets hard, and then it was like,
wake up!
A Freebird is like 11 minutes, right?
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, oh my Crazy. God. Play Freebird! But yeah, that's a track listing I cannot...
Leonard Skinner, man!
I can't wait. And then finally, the last bit of the Sony, the last bit of Sony-only news, Bully.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Here's a story.
Angus Hepburn.
Here's a story.
Voice of the crazy clown.
Okay, name Bully.
Angus Hepburn.
Claim to fame.
An asshole named Jack.
He's
Thompson
Scottish sounding. He's got a white beard. He smokes a pipe. He's a cool
That's
guy.
That's awesome. But Jack Thompson basically was telling a judge that the judge needs to review this game because the game is like amoral and like it rapes little children and shit, and it
and
eats
it's literally
your,
responsible
for getting
killed.
It eats your heart and all that shit, right? So the judge went in to review the game, right? And then he came right back out and was like, "Yeah, Jack, there's nothing really wrong with this. I don't know."
And he gave it a 9.4.
9.4, great.
He came out.
Review.
He was like, "Man, this game's fucking." Awesome.
Wrong sound effects, but I think that was his TV.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to read the news by Brendan Sinclair from GameSpot. Earlier this week, Florida lawyer Jack Thompson heralded, quote, an historic ruling to members of the press in a complaint he filed against Take-Two Interactive over its upcoming game, Bully. Judge Ronald Freeman ordered Take-Two to provide a copy of the game so that he could review it behind closed doors on Thursday and see what all the fuss was about himself. Quote, "It appears that finally the violent video game industry is going to be held accountable to someone," end quote, Thompson wrote in his Wednesday announcement. However, things didn't go as Thompson had hoped. This morning, game site Destructoid reported that the judge ruled on the matter, saying he didn't see anything that should prevent Take-Two from shipping Bully. Quote,
9.4.
Quote, "There's nothing in the game that you wouldn't see on TV every night," end quote.
Right.
Friedman is quoted as saying. The judge added that he wouldn't want his kids to play the game, but, quote, "that shouldn't mean the game won't ship," end quote. Update. From GameSpot. Later, in an open letter to Friedman that was circulated to various game press outlets, Jack Thompson decried the decision using typically fiery language, and this is his letter to a judge, okay? Quote,
What you conducted in your chambers, Judge, was the equivalent of Iran leading UN's weapons inspectors around the country.
Oh my God.
Taking them to places where illegal activity was not occurring, he said. Thompson
wow.
also had some strong words for the judge himself. Quote, now that you have consigned innumerable children to skull fractures, eye injuries from slingshots, and beatings with baseball bats without a hearing as to the danger, let me tell you a few things with all respect for your office and with no respect for the arbitrary way in which you handled this matter, he wrote. The way you conducted yourself today helps explain why a great Dade County judge, the late Rhea Pincus Grossman, would not be able to, could not abide you. The letter went
this
on to...
Day.
The letter went on to A, accuse Take-Two lawyer Rebecca Ward of lying in Friedman's courtroom when she told Friedman that a teen rating is an age restriction at the point of sale. It is. Indeed, such ESRB ratings are only enforced voluntarily by retail outlets. That's true, but they almost always do it. B, the letter went on to blast Friedman for not allowing a hearing to occur because the media there would have seen how you railroaded this entire matter at the expense of children's safety. Specifically, Thompson made mention of a Miami Herald reporter in attendance. In conclusion, Thompson said, quote, how dare you, judge, promise a hearing today and then prevent that hearing from occurring? How dare you, judge, petulantly order the production of the game after it is released on Tuesday morning? I didn't even ask for that. You did that out of spite, and you were smiling when you did that. You really enjoyed it when didn't you, judge? Next time you promise a hearing, I'll bring a parent with me whose kid is in the ground because of a kid who trained
Jesus
him.
Jesus fucking Christ!
Who trained to kill him.
This is fucking
or her
making me angry.
On a violent video game. Try mocking that person. I dare you. The funniest thing is about this whole shit is that in the end of the day, he's still lost. And we're still getting the game. Thank you, good night, you fuckhead. Good, go to fucking, like, I don't know, where did...
Stupid motherfucker! You fucking, you mother, God damn it, you fucking, what the fuck you done? Can you ask anything better to do?
Everybody, wait, Tony, hold it in.
God damn it.
Tony, get the defibrillator right now. Get it out.
Hold it in for 30 seconds. Everybody set aside about a minute of your day to just listen to this. Go ahead, Tony.
He's done.
No, I'm not done, that fucking prick. I don't understand. He's probably at home right now beating his fucking children, okay? Has nothing to do with a fucking game. Probably smacking his wife because she hard-boiled some eggs too hard and fucking focusing his interest on a fucking game and trying to get a judge and trying to get everybody to, like, fucking agree on this one. What the fuck is wrong? Why don't you get a fucking life? I mean, like, has he even played the fucking game? That's the fucking point. Has he even played it? No, he probably listened to conjecture. Oh, this game's gonna be violent. This game's gonna be fucking, oh, it's gonna whoop your children. Oh, why don't you talk to the mother whose kid is in the ground? Yeah, the kid is in the ground because he did something stupid, okay? Because the kid is fucking stupid! What the fuck does it have to aim? That's nothing to do with the game. These people, it's like, you come out of nowhere, you want to fucking make a name for yourself, this is not the way to do it. Okay? I'm taking fun away from everybody else. This has nothing to do with life. God damn it, there are things in life that are fucking imperative. Okay?
Amazing.
I just say, listen, okay?
As he keeps going, he sounds more and more like a woman.
That is selling crack, okay? Okay, this is not the game. This game is not selling crack. This game is not crack. It's not promoting anything. It's remotely near fucking deviant, okay? It's fantasy. It's a fucking fantasy thing. But it has nothing, teachers. It has nothing to do with kids being in the ground. What the fuck?
Kids being in the ground.
Oh my God. This game is rated T for teen. It can be sold at any wall. PlayStation.
God damn it!
Oh, that was amazing. How did you do that in one fucking breath? Oh my God.
It made me angry. I'm like, my fucking blood was boiling. What's
that was
son? God.
Awesome. Okay.
Fucking asshole.
Before
everybody,
you,
thank
you faint.
Jack Thompson, please find him, kill him. He lives in Florida. Go get him.
All right, moving on to, like, well, Microsoft didn't have much news this week, so much to talk about, but there is this one that talks about HD DVD and Blu-ray. There's apparently this chip that is able to decode both, not decode, but able to handle both formats in one small little chip. So let me bring up that news article here. And hopefully, along with, I think, I don't know if Ethan reported this last time, but there's a Warner Brothers is researching on a way to put both HD DVD and Blu-ray content on one disc to kind of, like, dead this format war. So, let's see. Microsoft is backing
Blah, blah, blah. NEC has come up with a chip that could help companies bridge the gap. The chip is essentially a controller, and it works in both Blu-ray and HD DVD players. One chip that works in both standards could cut the cost of building a player that accommodates both discs. So that's what it's saying. It's just a cost-cutting measure or something like that. Well, not much on this. I mean, this is a fledgling technology, but we'll see how it goes in the future. But again, you know, anything that helps bring any format war closer to close is good in my book. They had DVD. They had
DVD. You don't even know how to read.
Huh?
Right. Help it. You'll hear it again later. It's not that funny at all.
No, you're not. Nintendo News. Wedbush Morgan, which is an analyst firm, predicts that the Revolution will sell twice as many units as the PS3. Whoa, good fucking job, analyst. That's because the PS3 is going to have half as many units on launch. Yes, it's going to be twice as many. But, God, stupid. It's like, oh, the PS3 is going to... God, you idiot. But let me actually read the article before I start dissing on them, because they might have meant, like, fucking other shit. In a recently this is from IGN. In a recently released research brief, investment firm Wedbush Morgan's Michael Pachter predicts that the sales of Nintendo's forthcoming console will be double those of Sony's PlayStation 3 system this holiday season. Okay, exactly what I said. They are launching with half the amount of units. Of course, it is going to be twice if they both sell out.
Right.
How much do you get paid for your job? Moving on. Nintendo to hold Nintendo World 2006 press event in Japan in November. Yay. Now, for those of you who have been following Space World, which is Nintendo's own private event in Japan, they stopped putting out Space Worlds after the 2001 iteration. So there's kind of been a dearth of like Nintendo-only content, and they don't go to the Tokyo Game Show to show off their stuff. They always just have their own shit. So I guess this is big news for those who used to go to Space World, because...
Now it's called Nintendo World.
Now it's called Nintendo World.
Yay!
Is there anything interesting about this?
No!
No! Because we won't be getting it in the States! Moving on!
Yay!
Okay, so to kind of counter the survey that was held by random researcher firm that said PS3 is the bomb and shit, diggy 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 diggy, survey was held to say Nintendo's thing is more desired in Japan, which is also just as dubious. Any survey is fucking dubious, I'm sorry. Let's see. Wondering what the Japanese development community... Oh, this is a developer survey, okay. Let's see. Famitsu put all three systems against one against another. In the category of system sales, 60% of those surveyed expect the Wii to come out on top. PS3 took 37% of the vote compared to Xbox 360's 3%. Big fucking surprise! The Xbox 360 is selling like -5 units every week in Japan.
There's 5 returns every week.
Most developers want to try out Wii development. 63% selected the Wii as a system they want to most develop for. Compared to the PS3's 32% and the Xbox 360's 5%.
Ouch.
We also won out in the category of which system the developers want the most personally, want to own. 49% selected the Nintendo hardware. PS3 was chosen by 42%, with the Xbox 360 coming in last at 9%. So, but this is, you know, bear in mind, this is Japanese. You know, this is a Japanese market which values more kind of like, you know, innovative game and quirky games, whereas in America, we tend to
We tend
to prefer like stuff like shooters and sports games and stuff like that. So you
and
know,
horses.
It's radically.
Because we need to train ourselves to kill the kids.
Yeah.
Kill the kids, people.
Jack Thompson.
It's hurting us. It's hurting America.
Okay. Finally.
Hey.
And this is a sore spot for me, this entire situation. The Japanese version of The Legend of Zelda, Twilight Princess, will be available at the Japanese Revolution launch, but is sold only online.
Huh?
It's not that big of a deal. Huh? A lot of games are sold online only in Japan, and they sell out like crazy because Japanese have internet access like everywhere.
No, Al, that is not my problem. And I've said my problem to you about
that. Oh, I know what your problem is.
My problem is the whole situation. Yeah, you
that
know.
That didn't sound right.
My problem of the whole fucking Zelda situation is, like, in general, is the fact that, A, they're getting it at launch. We aren't. Okay, we're getting it for the Wii. I want to play it on a GameCube controller. Mm-hmm. On my GameCube. With a GameCube controller. Or on my Revolution with a GameCube controller. Whatever. Okay?
But you can't.
Huh?
But I can't until
Oh, well,
December.
You can. With the GameCube game.
Yes, I can. I want to play it as it was meant to be designed for the GameCube. I want to play it like a normal Zelda game as the last quote. This is they said this is the last Zelda game that you're going to see as you know it. All right?
Aww.
And that's how I want to play it. Not uh-huh. as this newfangled, I'm going to wave the remote around and swing my sword. I'm sure it's all fine and good, but I had in my mind what I wanted to play it as, and I want to play it as a GameCube game. After I play it and beat it on the GameCube, I will move
Maybe
to Twilight
you'll try
Princess.
The Revolution. Yeah,
then I will try it, yes, and I will probably love it, but I want to be able to experience it one last time at launch, the way it was meant to be played, and it's not going to be available at launch. It's going to be available a month later, but the Japanese people get it at launch. I wish I were Japanese, and I
You're
could be Japanese.
Japanese,
but I'm not. I'm Mexican, bitch!
You're close!
You could always just connect to their internet and order it.
Yeah, I can read Japanese, Al.
Read
That's
their
right.
text.
Most oh, yeah.
You have to know Japanese.
Your eyes are big.
And you probably have to have a Japanese address in order to accept. No zip codes over here, baby.
Zip codes. Bullshit. Anyway, so that's it for the news.
Oh, you were almost as angry as Tony.
What the fuck? It's not really like hand. It's not opening around. Oh, God, what the fuck?
Oh, man.
That is not me at all.
That's
not
that was almost
that's
you.
That's better than
there was a lot of. There was a whole string of fucks. It was fuck, fuckity, fuck, 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 What?
Fuck Angra. Come on, DJs! Okay. So, this weekend, Al and I went to Digital Life. Well, Al went on Friday. I went on Friday and Saturday.
Yay!
We took a whole shit cock of pictures. You can see it on the website.
And try games on
net! TryGames.net. The URL is HTTP. TryGames.net/ DIGILIFE 2006.
You forgot the colon double slash.
No! No colons! I don't like colonics. Okay. So, to read the article, I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to summarize. Digital Life is normally a conference that showcases, like, consumer electronics. Like, last year and the year before, there were always these big setups for MP3 players and media players and like, online ventures and emerging technology online and stuff. It was never hugely about games, but this year, you know, there was quite a bit of a presence, more than I was expecting. And Al and I went to the Xbox Live Arcade booth where they were showing some games that weren't out yet. We also went to play a lot of Guitar Hero, a lot of Guitar Hero. We sampled Final Fantasy XII. We saw some PlayStation 3 footage, but we didn't actually get to get hands-on. We saw Madden for the Revolution, but we also didn't get hands-on with that. As to be expected, the lines for Guitar Hero, PlayStation 3, and Madden for the Revolution were, like, the longest. It was even worse on Saturday. Al and I went on Friday. Al, I think you remember, it was kind of okay. But on Saturday, the thing was packed. Even fucking Elebits was packed because they just wanted to hold the controller.
Yep.
Elebits is a Revolution game, by the way. Let's talk about what we saw. Al, you want to talk about Contra a little bit?
Ooh. Contra. Anybody remember Contra?
No, not at
no,
all.
No, what's
never heard
Contra?
Oh, yeah.
I think
well,
they're being sarcastic.
Have you ever played Contra on an analog stick?
No.
No.
Yeah, well, if you play it on the Xbox Live Arcade, you're probably going to be better off with it.
On the analog.
And it feels much more like you're playing with something that responds to what you do, because you know how not in Contra in particular, but some other games, you open up an enemy on the right side of the screen, and they shoot you immediately after you see them?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you don't have but a fraction of a second to actually jump out of the way of the bullet or duck or whatever.
Right.
Well, that happens a lot in this game. And you need to be able to, you know, move out of the way or press down on your analog without having to run diagonally.
And
well,
the D-pad
aiming
is
diagonally
shit.
Down. And then dying anyway.
Right.
but I definitely have to tell you that, like, I haven't really played the arcade Contra for such a long time. I've been so used to the NES one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The game is so much more difficult, but it's so much shorter.
Yeah, for anyone who's not clear, the Xbox Live arcade version of Contra is going to be the arcade version, not the NES version, for obvious reasons. The levels are much... The graphics are prettier, obviously. The levels are much shorter. And I don't know if it was that much harder. Well, maybe the boss that you played with the accelerating bubbles.
Yeah, the accelerating bubbles fucked us up. But the translation to Xbox Live Arcade in terms of graphical quality, I mean, you can't really fuck up Contra unless you enhance the graphics.
Right, which is what they did. They actually put in a weird Photoshop filter. Not a Photoshop, but like it was a weird filtering on the graphics to make it smoother. And while it didn't look bad, it was just kind of hard to get used to. And then one of the representatives who I actually interviewed the next day, Mark Coates, who's a program manager for Xbox Live Arcade, he came over and he said there was a setting that you could turn that off. And then they had like 100%. Faithful recreated arcade graphics.
Yeah, it looked a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, even if it was pixelated, it was more like familiar. So, but let's see, what else did we try out? You tried out
play
Ultimate.
Doom.
Play Doom. Doom is fucking Doom. That's all.
Doom was good.
Doom was.
Yeah,
good.
We played on Nightmare. It was dying like left or right. It was funny, but it was fun.
Doom is one of the most fun multiplayer games in the first level ever. That was like the best on the first level of Doom the first game. That first level is one of the best multiplayer levels
Deathmatch
ever designed for any game ever.
Deathmatch. Oh, Deathmatch. Yeah.
Deathmatch. One-on-one. Like, unbelievable.
So it's available for download. Like, right now, it's available for download on Xbox Live Arcade for 800 points, which is like $10. And I think it includes the entire Doom suite. It has all the episodes of Doom, all the episodes of Doom 2, all the episodes of Final Doom. And you can play, like, co-op on Xbox Live. Like, Al, if you had an Xbox 360, I could hook up with you and we could play, like, through the game co-op. Just like we do on the PC. And I can't remember how many players Deathmatch, but it was some insane number that, like, was...
Insane number?
I could be wrong. Exactly. I'm saying that they might have increased it, but I'm not going to say it because I don't know for sure, so I'm not going to know.
But if they did, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and it feels
imagine
good.
It like 32 people cooped up in the first level.
Blah
blah blah blah. Everybody just be dying.
But it actually feels good with dual analog sticks, and that's the only time I will ever compliment a console first person shooter is that it does feel good with dual analog. Because you don't have to look up and down.
Yeah.
Right? So in that for me it actually
I don't
feels
know if I like that.
Well, in Doom you never look up and down.
Yeah,
like,
it wasn't
it helped for me because actually it felt more comfortable than a mouse. Because with a mouse, you know, because you look up and down, you kind of have that instinct to kind of use it to in ways that you're not supposed to. And so in Doom, like when you turn, you're not turning as exactly as you want to. Obviously, the problem with Doom on the pad is making an extremely quick turn. But if you remember Doom, there's not that many to make. Like when enemies show up behind you, like you pretty much have enough time to turn around.
Right.
Because this game was when the game was first designed, like a lot of people were still using the keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
And not the keyboard and mouse, just the keyboard. So, you know, they kind of accounted for that. What's next? Luminous Live. Al didn't play this. I did. But I didn't play any of the new modes. I just played the regular old modes, which was a mistake because there's nothing new about it.
Yay.
So I should have discovered the other modes, but I like the original mode anyways. We'll say that, again, the D-pad is wonky. It is highly inefficient to play with it. For Luminous, and it's kind of a shocker because the PSP D-pad is like one of the worst I've ever used, but that works fine for Luminous. It works just fine for Luminous, and I don't know why this D-pad can't work for it here. I tried with the analog stick, wasn't working too well. Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, Al, you played it on Friday, and I touched it a little bit on Saturday. You want to give your impressions?
Feels like the arcade, which is really good, and
smells like
that's great. Another game that you can't play
with
the
D-pad. Yeah.
Well, for me. I was playing with the reptile and stuff and doing, like, back, low punch, high punch. To
and
do
it was working.
The little glowy ball. That was easy.
Okay.
I was doing, you know, Sub-Zero, like, a charm.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
You know, it was, it's damn good. That's why
When I played it the next day, I found that the analog stick did work better in most cases as well, which is surprising. The problem is that when you get a character like Liu Kang, where a lot of the moves are tap-tap, like forward-forward instead of like quarter-circle motions, it is fucking almost impossible to use an analog stick for that. So, obviously, I shifted to the D-pad. Now, I don't know if it was that controller specifically, but the D-pad was so freaking stiff, I still couldn't do the moves regularly with Liu Kang. I still couldn't do tap-tap. That's how stiff the D-pad was, so I don't know what happened there. But I was highly disappointed. With Sub-Zero, though, it worked great. You know, Sub-Zero was just fine, but it kind of feels like the Dreamcast D-pad. Like, I tried playing Mortal Kombat 4 on the Dreamcast pad, and that was a nightmare. Like, the Dreamcast D-pad is one of the worst I've ever used as well. And this is similar in that respect with this game.
Woo!
So, what was that?
Nothing.
Yeah!
Woo!
Yeah! But, just do that again.
Why?
Just do it again!
Whoopsie!
The graphics are pretty good, but if you look at it up close on a high-definition display, obviously it's going to look kind of pixelated and blocky. The animation was really smooth in-game, but when you choose your character, like, the animation, for some reason, chopped up. I don't know why. Al, I think you noticed that too, right?
Yeah, because in the character select, they just didn't have all the frames.
Okay, yeah. So that's Ultimate Mortal Kombat. Final Fantasy XII. Interesting right here. Al mostly took notes for me, so I mostly played. And I would like to say right now that I skipped every single cutscene that I could.
Yeah,
just to get to the gameplay.
Sake of sanity.
Yeah, the cutscenes look absolutely fantastic, and I know that's like, they're fucking cutscenes, so what? But I mean, still, when compared to Square's previous cutscenes, which were already good, like the amount of detail that they put into every structure and every character and all the art and all the color and detail, it's really fantastic looking. So if you like story and shit, you will kind of spooge yourself probably and have to clean yourself up. But, now the gameplay, instead of having a fixed camera like you had in Final Fantasy X, or pre-rendered backgrounds like you had in Final Fantasy VII, VIII, and IX, it plays like an MMORPG in that the view constantly follows from behind you. Plays like any third-person action game.
Okay.
You control the camera and you control your character with the left analog stick, with the right and left analog stick respectively, so it's like an action game from the appearance. Now, given that, it's in a fully 3D world and you'd expect the visual quality to dip, but it was really, really solid.
Mm-hmm.
They did a good job, both the in-game cinematics and the in-game gameplay. Now, what everyone probably wants to hear about is the battle system, and I know that people have read that Penny Arcade comic where they said the game masturbates, it plays itself. Because, like, there's this gambit system where you can actually tell what your characters are supposed to do in what situation. So, Tony, if you wanted to tell your mage to heal one of the guys who's, like, at 10% hit point,
mm-hmm.
you can set, like, what's called a gambit for that, and automatically they'll do that.
Right.
Or if you want to, say, attack a character that's going after your mage, you can do that. So it's kind of like setting up all these automated guidelines.
You could do that anyway on the other games. I mean, not to the extent of healing someone specifically in a time, you know, where they're in distress, you know, but you could set up your battle system on other games, so what's the big deal?
No, not like this.
Okay.
In no way like this. Like, in other games, you can tell them to, like, in other games, you actively tell them to do this. In this stuff, what I'm saying is it's automated. What I'm saying is that when you're not fighting, you go into a menu screen and you say,
uh-huh.
okay, set these battle parameters up, and when you go into battle, you could theoretically sit there and watch it and not press anything on the controller, and they would actually do stuff.
Oh, that's
yeah,
exactly
you can even automate your own
game,
character.
Because I'm not lazy enough.
Yeah, you need to be lazy, Tony. When I heard that fucking annoyed me, because it's like, I like pressing buttons. That's why I have
mm-hmm.
a controller.
Mm-hmm.
But the demo didn't offer enough time for me to get that far in it where I actually made use of that system, and from what I saw, it plays pretty well. I'm actually
okay.
pleasantly surprised by it. I don't play MMORPGs, but according to Al, this plays very much like an MMO. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. You
yeah.
run around. Like,
mm-hmm.
basically, the version you were playing was wait mode.
Right.
Where basically whenever it's your time to go, it stops, kind of like KOTOR.
Well, it didn't. No, it didn't stop for me. Like, I actually,
didn't stop
I pressed the button to bring up the menu, and then it stopped.
Well, yeah, yeah. Basically, when you press the button to bring up the menu, it stops in wait mode. But if you press the button to bring up the menu
in active mode, yeah,
the game
still
goes on. So you still get your ass beat while you're deciding whether you want to cast Zara or Kira.
Right.
But the Gambit mode, at least, you can turn off.
Right.
So, if you wanted to try and get everybody doing their thing, I mean, it's only three characters, so it's not that bad. But what I felt more comfortable with doing was letting the computer do what they wanted to do, And then if I needed to have them do a strong spell, which they weren't automated to do, then I'd do it myself. And then that would be their next move.
Okay. Right. So I'm going to go through the battle system, Tony. I know you didn't play the demo,
right.
So this might be of particular interest to
okay.
you. You're running around the field, just like in any other RPG,
right.
In any other Final Fantasy.
Right.
But instead of getting into a random battle,
mm-hmm.
like you will see enemies that they're there, and then they come up to you. And you'll see this by like a little red arc that comes between you and the enemy.
Okay.
And that's when they're engaging battle. So when you start fighting, you can press X at any time
okay.
to bring up a menu.
Okay.
That says fight or use magic and all that.
So
shit.
It like doesn't even go to a battle screen. That's
right.
instant.
It's similar to Chrono Trigger in that respect, but it's even more seamless.
Okay.
So like it's all on the map screen. And again, so instead of having that menu always there,
mm-hmm.
and the thing pops up when it's your turn,
mm-hmm.
as it were, you're constantly running around the field trying to avoid attacks.
Okay.
And you can press X at any time to bring up that traditional menu that says fight or whatever. So you pick fight, and when you pick fight, a little bar in the corner fills up, and when it's totally full, your character is ready to attack. And he's not going to attack with fight. He's not going to attack unless he's close to your enemy. So you actually have to be close to your enemy to attack. So it's kind of like it's more of a hybrid between an action game and a traditional Japanese style RPG than it ever was before, which is cool.
Okay.
You know, it keeps you on your toes. You have to move your characters around, and it's more dynamic. Or you can choose magic, wherein the same kind of bar fills up, and you can execute it, I believe, from anywhere. Like, and you'll still hit your enemy, but I think you still might have to be in some proximity within your enemy.
Okay.
So it doesn't just take into account like statistics and when you chose the menu item and all that shit, but it also takes into account where you are and how fast everyone is. So it's melding Japanese and Western RPGs a lot. I don't know
uh-huh.
if you've ever played any Western role playing games, like on the computer or like Knights of the Old Republic on the Xbox.
No.
But they've been that way for a long
okay.
time. Where like you just issue commands to your party and they'll carry
mm-hmm.
them out until you tell them to stop
mm-hmm.
and do something else.
Well, overall, did you find it was an improvement over like the previous Final Fantasy episodes?
I don't know if it was an improvement, but it was certainly different and it was very enjoyable.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Like I find so it's not an improvement, but it's great.
Uh-huh.
Like you know what I mean? Like it's on the same level, but it's just as enjoyable as before,
okay.
and that's all I really ask. The problem is that, of course, I didn't get to work with the Gambit system, so I don't know if it's going to become a masturbatory game where it puts itself,
right,
like
right,
we were
right,
saying
right.
before. You know, so we'll have to see. Like, I'm hearing conflicting opinions from reviews and magazines and podcasts,
okay.
so I don't know what to think.
Okay.
Let's see. We went to the GameTap booth. I don't know if you guys know about GameTap.
Yeah, GameTap is awesome. I told you about this, Tony.
I know about GameTap, but I didn't know they had a booth there. So.
Oh, yeah, they had a booth there. And, you know, I've been... Yeah, when it first came out, I was skeptical. But, like, as they started getting more...
Content.
Involved, I was like, you know, this is a decent service. You know, this is pretty
yeah.
cool. We went there, and we found, like, a whole shit ton of Neo Geo games.
Yeah.
There, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
they have, like, everything,
got,
pretty much. And they add new games every week.
It's also
yeah,
a good company to invest in because, as you know, again, as broadband goes up and fiber optics
yeah,
come out,
absolutely.
Which Verizon's putting in, by the way, right now to people's houses.
Ethan, put an investment in for me. Come on.
Okay, I'll do that. Your $10
sell.
20 in 70 years.
Where's Beaks?
Pork bellies.
Take this
pork bellies.
To say goodbye.
Pork bellies.
I love you all.
What?
I gotta go. But
good fucking riddance.
Yeah, I know.
God.
You'll all be better
dude.
Without me anyway.
Where the hell are you going anyway?
I gotta go out. I gotta run errands.
To flank steak himself.
I gotta flank steak myself in the pooper.
I'm gonna give myself a bib steak.
Alright, guys. Al, Tony, Austin. Later.
Get out! Yay!
Bitch.
Later, man.
Yeah, later.
Welcome to episode 23 of the TryGames.net podcast. New and improved! Less Ethan,
sans,
more good.
Sans Jew!
No, less Ethan, more good. So continue on. I played World Heroes Perfect
okay.
on the Neo Geo via GameTap.
Yeah.
It was perfect. It was literally, like, and this is not a pun or anything, like, no pun intended, but it literally was perfect.
Okay.
It was just like the arcade. Of course, the responsiveness is going to depend on what kind of joypad you get.
Right.
And therein lies the problem with PC gaming where nothing's standardized,
mm-hmm.
but, like, you get a good joypad, you're in.
Mm-hmm.
World Heroes Perfect felt great. Al, you played Alien Soldier, right? To introduce this game, Alien Soldier is made by Treasure, who owns everybody, basically.
Right.
Because Treasure is just that good. It's an action game by Treasure, and it's kind of like, I see it as the inspiration to Shadow of the Colossus, because this is very boss-oriented. Mm-hmm. They're like little shits that you can beat to get energy, but like the main emphasis is on big-ass boss characters that you
right.
beat the shit out of.
You know what the best Treasure game was? Best.
What is it?
Mischief Makers. What a game.
Al likes that game.
What game?
And you don't, so you two can have a little podcast.
What game?
Mischief Makers.
Oh, I don't really have that much experience in the game.
Okay. So anyway, so Alien Soldier was never released stateside. I don't believe it was released in Europe either.
Okay.
Which is weird because it was all in English. The Japanese version was all in English.
Okay. No, it was released in Europe.
Oh,
I was trying
okay,
to buy
no,
the
I'm...
PAL version, but
okay.
it was a hoax.
So it's boss-oriented, and you get to choose from these weapons,
right.
and it's just very old-school, like, action type, but it... Ugh, love it. I love it. Ooh. Al, you talk about
it. I can't really say I played it more than I got my ass handed to me by the first boss.
Well, I mean, in terms of how it translates over to the game.
But, yeah, it translates like I was playing Genesis. It was awesome.
Huh.
Yeah.
I give, like, 4 thumbs up to GameTap for that type of shit.
2 thumbs, 2 toes, and a penis. I also tried out Street Fighter Alpha 3 the next day, and again, it was perfect. Like, it was just...
Did you try out any Metal Slug games?
No, I meant to, but that's I didn't get to. But I'm sure... Given, like, what we tried from the GameTap
Yeah, it'll
booth,
probably be, like, flawless.
It probably was great, and, like, the thing with GameTap is it's kind of expensive,
yeah.
but at the same time, if you're one of those people who like, you know, who don't want to go the illegal route and you want to support, like, some company and you want to pay for your games, this has a great selection. I mean, I read a review of this on VintageComputing.com before the SNK stuff really came out, and when they were still kind of middling with second-rate software.
Right.
At the same time, a lot of that second-rate software is that nostalgic stuff that you kind of want
right,
to go back
right,
to.
Right, right, right.
You know, I mean, it's not Mario, but it's still like, hey, I remember that obscure
right,
game. I had
exactly.
a lot of fun with it.
They have too many games. Well, let's expensive in that. Well, it's $14.99
a month,
right?
A little expensive. Well, now it's now if actually and I will pimp this and I got this from Digital Life
oh, okay.
and also it's on Cheap Ass Gamer.
Okay.
If you go to www.gametap.com/digital,
mm-hmm.
There's a special limited time offer that's only open until the 22nd, I believe, of October.
Okay.
1 year of GameTap for only $59.40, which is the price of like, and this is their tagline, which is less than the price of an Xbox 360 game. Which is
that's
pretty sad
awesome.
When we've come to a state of affairs that, like, yeah, so it's $60 for, like, as many games as you can,
for the
like,
whole year.
Yeah, for a whole year, as many games as you could shake a dick at, and any of these games, all these games, like, as long as you keep on paying your monthly fee, they will stay on your hard drive. Now, this is for 1 year, and I'm sure that once this year is up, it'll go back to the regular rate, and I believe the regular rate it has now been decreased to, like, $7.
A month.
A month,
wow.
I believe. From 10. But, like, I'm looking at this, and, you know, I used to laugh at this thing when it first came out, but I didn't really understand what their plan was.
Mm-hmm.
The selection that they have is, I gotta say, I'm impressed, and I'm really tempted to try it out. If I didn't have so many games sitting on my shelf,
right,
I would subscribe
right,
to
right.
this.
Likewise.
It is really fantastic. My problem with it is the interface is not intuitive at all
no.
for someone who just wants to jump in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's colorful, and it's cute looking, and it's, you know, it's pretty, but, like, to find stuff, you know, they have these things that you click on the bottom, like the Game Vault or My Game Tab or whatever, but it's not, like,
it's not
permanent. It's so stylish,
mm-hmm.
and it's so cool looking, but therein lies the problem in that it kind of obscures your ability to just pick it up and go.
Mm-hmm.
But once you find the search window, then all your troubles are gone. Then you can search for a game and you play and stuff like that. But the interface needs a lot more simplification, needs a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't bother me, though. It wouldn't stop me from buying, from subscribing.
Uh-huh.
You need to have a good gamepad, and I'm honestly not sure what kind of computer you have to run, because obviously if you wanted to play a DOS game, which they have all, like, the old Ultimas and shit, and that's
right.
really appealing, like, the old DOS games, you don't have to fiddle through DOSBox and emulate it
right,
on your
right,
PC.
Right.
It'll do it all for you. But the thing is that, like, they have Dreamcast games available for download.
Yeah.
And it's like, what kind of computer are you going to need to
You're
going to
need a high-end, so, and you're going to need, obviously, broadband. You're going to need a cable modem.
Well, you're definitely going to
yeah,
need
you're
broadband.
You're
going to
need a cable modem.
This whole thing is broadband-based.
A cable modem or something better.
And that's fine, because that's required, that's prominent, but it doesn't tell you, on the website at least, it doesn't tell you what system requirements you need.
Well, of course not. They don't want to dissuade you from paying for the service.
Right, exactly. So if you've got like an okay computer, mm-hmm. like one that was, if you got a computer that's running XP, but that's like kind of like 4 or 5 years
right.
old, and you don't do a lot of heavy video game stuff on
right.
it, you use it mainly for email.
Yeah,
and
you
stuff
could play
like
Defender.
You could play Defender. You could play probably like you might be able to play Street Fighter, but Crazy Taxi.
No.
Beyond Good and Evil, Splinter Cell, which they have in
yeah.
there, I don't know how they could, you know, I don't know how they're going to, how they would manage that.
Well, I think the
so.
They showed it on a commercial, and the frame rate looked really, really crappy.
Okay.
So maybe that's indicative of, like, a lower-end kind of connection
right.
and lower-end computer play, you know, just to
right.
make it seem like this is just user-friendly. No matter what
right.
computer you have, you can do this, but, of course, that's not
right.
that's not the case.
Right, right. Well, I'll say this. If you're a PC gamer
uh-huh.
and you don't like consoles, but you want to experience some of the great classics, GameTap is a great service, looks to be a great service, and the only problem is they don't have any Nintendo stuff. And
wow.
that's to be expected from a company.
Are you serious?
That's
why?
That's to be expected from a company like Nintendo. Nintendo wants to hold on to its intellectual property.
That's
right.
why they have VC.
And it has a virtual console, so they have a vested interest in not letting other people, you know, take their shit.
Right.
But if you want to play, like, Sonic the Hedgehog, Streets of Rage 2, which was fucking
awesome
back in the
game.
Day.
Love that game. Yep.
Download that right on your GameTap, and it's right there. And it's just, you know, it's really impressive. And I'm saying this without having talked to any GameTap representative that tried to sell me
right,
anything.
Right.
Like, I was sold already.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't have so many games, I would subscribe to this, like, in a heartbeat.
I think I will.
Again, make sure you get a good joypad.
Yeah.
Get a good joypad.
Yeah, get a Logitech Rumble Pad.
Yeah. Yeah, the ones
two.
That we have. And make sure if you're going to do it before the 22nd.
Right.
You can go to that URL now. In fact, I'll the beauty of Skype chat.
Yay!
That's his type. www.gametap.com/digital.
Sweet, dude.
Now, Guitar Hero 2. Spoogeworthy. Al, I think you should start off because I'm too excited about this game.
And shoot. When is November 7th coming?
Is it the 7th?
Yes,
it's
November 7th.
Oh, shit! Oh, shit! Basically, Al and I we sight-read through Avenged Sevenfold's Beast and the Harlot, which is fucking hard as all hell.
Uh-huh.
Al took the lead guitar, I took the bass.
I was a little bit more familiar with the song since I have
Al
the album.
Was more familiar with the song, so he took the lead guitar. But both parts are really hard.
Yeah, because he played...
We went right to expert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We went right to expert. Everybody there was playing on easy and medium.
Oh, of course,
they were fucking
yeah.
that up, too.
There was one pair... They were fucking up easy and medium. There was one pair there that was really good that they were playing like on expert, too. We did better than them, of course. But, you know, Al and I started playing, and everyone was like, what the fuck are they doing? Because
mm-hmm.
that song is crazy-ass looking. It's just ridiculous looking. It Bark at the Moon times, like, 1.5.
Wow.
But Al was able to sight read through the lead guitar part. He did 85%. He got 85% of the notes. I was able to sight read through the bass part. No, 87% of the notes.
Yeah,
right
you got 94.
I got 95 on the bass part, and like, it felt good. It felt good to know that we were better than everybody there, for once in my pathetic gaming life, to actually be good in something.
we also played Mizlu twice.
You played Mizlu. I played Dong 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 Dong.
Oh yeah,
because
the bass was a little easier, but the guitar was just like
the bass was a lot easier.
Oh man, it's phenomenal.
The guitar part is insane. That was it. I had to play every single.
No, but then there was this one part was like, and it was just like. Two notes on the green, two notes on the orange, two notes on the green,
wow.
two notes on the blue, two notes on the green, two notes on the red, two notes on the yellow, two notes on the blue, two notes on the green. I was like, I'm not catching up with this.
Brain fried! Yeah.
And if it wasn't for the bass part, we probably would have failed, but the bass part was so easy that it kept the meter out of the
room. Yeah.
That's how easy it was. And I'll get to this in a second as to how what the downfall of this game might be, but the quote of the night, the quote of the day was someone behind us who said, dude, this dude is chilling. It's pointing at me. This dude is just chilling, and then pointed at Al. This dude's dreads are sweating.
And he messed me up, so I had to show him up on the next one. That's why I did the
what
song.
An asshole.
Right the next time.
Yeah. But one thing is that for the big thing about this game is co-op. You know,
uh-huh.
one person takes the rhythm, one person takes the lead. For a song like Beast and the Harlot or Rush's YYZ, which is fantastic,
uh-huh.
the co-op is awesome. It's fantastic. Both parts are fun. Both parts are difficult. Both parts have, you know, supplement the other, so that if one is messing up, you'll still be able to recover because the other part's doing okay. Now, other songs, like Miserloo, mm-hmm. Al's got the entire freaking weight of the world on his shoulders, and I'm sitting here on expert, okay, on the expert of the bass line, going, blunk, 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 blink, blunk, 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 blunk. That's it.
Yeah, that's not all. So they kind of, like, messed up on the bass end.
Well, you can't really.
Well, see, here's
the
thing. Yeah. I don't think they messed up so much as it just comes with the territory
right.
that they can't really mess with a song and add notes in there where they're not supposed to be. And, you know, that's messing with a song.
Well, maybe
so
they
should have
made that,
a
two-guitar part. A cooperative.
Maybe. That. Or give the chance for both people to play a lead.
Right.
You know, I would have liked that just for fun. Mm-hmm. Because what Al and I don't like about the multiplayer head-to-head mode
uh-huh.
is that when they take the song, you're not playing the song against someone else. They split the song up.
Mm-hmm.
So you're playing one part, they're playing the other part, the other person's playing another part. So it would be so much better if both people got to play the entire part
right,
to see
right,
how,
right, right,
how each other
see
does.
Who's better.
But they
yeah.
split yeah, but they split it up,
mm-hmm.
so it's weird like that.
It's like dueling.
Anyway, so like yeah. It's like dueling banjos. But like what was the other song we played? Message in a Bottle?
Yeah, we played Message in a Bottle and Sweet Child of
yeah,
Mine.
Yeah, that Message in a Bottle, Sweet Child of Mine, the bass lines and the rhythm guitar parts of that, even though Al, you said you had fun with the Sweet Child, right?
With what?
That's because you like Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah,
that's fun. Because you liked the song, but was the part? Did the part actually have some involving stuff later down the line, or was it all just like normal?
Didn't you play the guitar of that too later on?
I played the guitar of that, but you played the bass of that.
Oh, but I could have sworn I played the guitar of that too. Well, it's like basically the same. You know, you got your regular old bass line that's easy to play, and then there's that little hard part where you have to do red. Oh, not red, yellow, blue, orange, and you have to roll them all real quick, but it's not that hard. If you really like the song,
yeah.
then you'll just
it's
groove
fun.
With it.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing, it's like, some of the accompaniment parts, like I was saying before, Tony, is that it's not enough to make it as fun as the lead guitar.
Right.
Everybody wants to play
right.
the lead guitar, and for a song like, again, bringing this up, yeah, well... Well, I mean, like, when they get good
they
enough,
they just
want to
added
have fun
mode.
With
yeah,
it.
They should have just added another
yeah.
mode. They should have had band mode,
yeah.
where you play bass, one person plays guitar. They should put a head-to-head where...
Like a true head-to-head.
Yeah, a true head-to-head where you yeah. could either do the guitar or the bass parts.
Right. But, like, as it stands, you know, songs like YYZ and Beast and the Harlot are great for co-op, and others just... You know, others aren't. And it's actually okay, like, if you wanted to... If you were playing with a friend who wasn't as good,
uh-huh.
then that's okay, you know? But at the same time, if it's, like, me and Al at the same time, we'd have to, like, fucking fight for the lead guitar. So, but all in all, regardless,
uh-huh.
it's Guitar Hero. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I really loved what I played out there. And I'm really tempted to go back again today just to play it. But, you know, there is stuff to be done,
yes.
so I won't. Al, you want to talk a little bit about what you saw from Madden on the Revolution? Since I was going
yeah,
out
was
taking
going
pictures, so I didn't
stuff.
Really stick around.
Madden is definitely pretty damn cool
Madden.
On the Wii. Just the enthusiasm that everybody was having while playing it, and... Just looking at the gestures and the motions and how natural they feel,
mm-hmm.
it definitely seems like it's going to be very, very different twist and a very, very appealing and positive twist on regular football games.
Embellish upon that because I'm under the impression that it's only like the only handle part of the schematics of this game is just the throwing. So what else does it institute as far as moving with the handles?
You've got quite a few things. Like at the booth, they were recommending the people to play the 2-on-2 playground football because
mm-hmm.
it's the easiest to pick up and play.
Mm-hmm.
And all it is basically you have a quarterback and a defensive back and the receiver and the cornerback.
Okay.
And you control your quarterback if you're on offense with the analog of the nunchuck.
Mm-hmm.
And you control the direction, like you kind of point your receiver into the direction you want him to go in by pressing on the D-pad. And he
okay.
would just kind of keep on running in that direction until you press the next one. Before you start, you hold the controller like out in front of you, you pull it towards you to hike the ball, kind of like you're hiking a real football. And then as you're moving around, trying to get yourself a nice opening, and you're moving around the other guy with your right hand, you make a throwing gesture with your arm, with the remote, and he throws the ball. And then he catches it, and you run around. When you catch the ball, you can juke by moving both controllers to the left or the right. On defense, you can do a user tackle, which is a stronger hit, by moving both of the controllers forward. Then there's like big hits where you move the controller.
So it's kind of like you're lunging.
Yeah. And then there's some, I forget what it is, but there's
you can stiff arm.
Well, no, not stiff arm, but like there's a point where
you can
stiff arm if you move like one arm to the side. They'll stiff arm in that direction. But you can also like shake the controllers together to break out of tackles and things like that.
Okay.
That's pretty damn nice.
Yeah, and on defense, they had said in the GameSpot review, at least, if you shake the controllers fast enough...
Review, yes. Oops.
If you shake the controllers fast enough while they count 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, you can cheat and make it go faster.
1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi.
Yeah, just like you do in real life. And,
that's funny. Like, the faster you shake it, the faster you say Mississippi.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And, also, one thing I found that was really funny, if you are running the ball and you're, there's nobody in sight, you're about to hit the end zone, if you wave the remote around, you do like a showboat gesture.
You start
gesture.
High-stepping.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, you can high-step just to taunt people. It's funny. But basically, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of it's tackling, stiff-arming, juking, all the things that would be assigned to like different button presses that might confuse somebody who has never played Madden before. Like if you just say, okay, stick out your arm. You stiff arm, and that's how it does it.
Yep.
Of course, the most obvious one is the throwing. That's what everyone is going to see.
Okay.
But there are a lot of other subtle things in there that make it, like, that really integrate it. And from what I've heard from people who have been playing beta builds of it, it's like they didn't just fart out a port. Like, they actually took it from the ground and said, let's see how to use it. So, for once, respect to EA. They did a good job with this one. Al, Ron was actually there.
He was?
Yesterday, and I didn't see him. But we were talking about it, and Ron is one of our friends, one of our mutual friends. He's big into Madden, so here's what he said. He won a revolution, by the way, off of the radio. So
really?
He was lucky. Yeah. So he goes, let's see, on AIM. I'm going to have to develop a lot of patience, but once I do get it, I'm going to be pleased. I need new challenges in Madden because it's coming too easy for me now, and this is one that, he thinks that it will be a challenge for him to learn. And the reason why he says that is because he's been playing Madden on the gamepad for, like, an extremely long time. And that's why, people who have been accustomed to that will have to go through a little learning curve. Not because it's difficult, but because it's like, you want to press that button. You're so used to pressing that button. And I'm pretty sure once I start playing a first-person shooter, I'm going to be confused out of my mind because I'm going to want to click on a mouse button and I'm not going to be able to. But, indication from him is that once he does get it, he thinks he's going to like it a lot. So that's telling. That's good to hear.
Yeah, I find it kind of funny to watch some people who, they've been playing Madden on the controller for years and years and years and years, and they're, like, shaking the freaking remote. And I'm like, just pull it towards you. And they're shaking it. I'm like, pull it towards you to hike. Shake it. So then he pulls it to, he kind of, like, shakes it so that it get that, like, whiplash, and it throws back up, so he hikes the ball, and he's like, oh my god, what am I going to do, and he throws it, and he throws it on the ground. And so then I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh man, that's messed up, come on, you can do it, next time. So next time, he's shaking the controller, I'm like, pull it towards you, and then he pulls it toward himself, and then he's throwing it, he throws the ball, and it goes out of bounds. And I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be like one of those, yo, man, I can't get with this shit. But then after the third one, he threw it, and when he jumped up and caught the ball, and he ran and got, he's shaking the controller, he's like, ah! And then I'm like, that's the way the game was supposed to be
Sounds
played.
Like Al had more fun than this guy.
And I was sitting there watching.
And the last thing I want to get to before we close out is Splinter Cell Double Agent. I didn't get much hands-on time with it. This may sound cynical. I don't mean it to sound cynical or whatever, but it's Splinter Cell. It's not really that different so far. Mechanically, it's not. Design-wise, I think it's supposed to be different because, like, you're undercover and you have to gain trust and all that shit. So, you know, we didn't get too much into that. But it's Splinter Cell. So far, it's the same as always.
I got into
which is
it
good
a lot. I lost all the trust.
Yeah, because he blew up civilians. Mm. God. But,
and I shot this lady who was running away.
He shot the lady in the back. Oh, my God. He shot the lady in the back. Were you doing your song then, too?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You're a horrible person.
I know.
Anyway, so, like, mechanically, yeah, it's just Splinter Cell. And if you ask me, that's just fine because I love Splinter Cell. Mm-hmm. Graphically, at first glance, you kind of wonder why you had to spend $400 on an Xbox 360 because it does not look impressive. But when you look closer... Mm-hmm. Like, the lighting is much, much deeper. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more high dynamic range. I don't know if I've explained that before, but basically what it is, like, you know how when you come out of a tunnel and, like, the sun's glaring in your
eyes?
Yeah,
yeah, you showed me that on Far Cry.
Right. Yeah, I did show you the Far Cry thing. Yeah, so it's like that.
Okay.
They've got a lot of that going on where it's appropriate. They don't overuse it, but where it's appropriate. And you can actually see Sam glistening because he's sweating. Mm-hmm. It's not like NBA 2K6 where, like, there's sweat dripping everywhere.
And that looks cheesy as hell, too.
Yeah, which looks cheesy. But sometimes it looks good in 2K7, mm-hmm. actually, because they reduced it.
Okay.
But it's different in Splinter Cell. It's not, like, he's not dripping. It's just, like, a glossy sheen
right. okay.
over his skin. You can tell that he's hot. He's sweating.
Right.
Little effects, like, looking down the scope of a sniper rifle, like, or a regular rifle. Like, it's got a little concavity to the lens mm-hmm. and everything. It's little things that you think, like, oh, you know, this looks really cool. Mm-hmm. But on the outset, you're going to be like, what? I was watching After Hours, which is GameSpot's special event in San Francisco mm-hmm. yesterday. Like, they let Complete members tune in, like, via webcam. Mm-hmm. And they were doing a gameplay demo of Splinter Cell Double Agent. And, like, everybody in the chat room was like, this doesn't look next gen. What the fuck? Without swearing, of course, because they don't allow swearing in the chat room. And I was looking at it, and I was like, you know what? They're right. It really doesn't look that special. Mm-hmm. But what I saw in person looks so much better.
Right.
So, you know, you really have to look carefully to see it. But once you get yourself immersed into the game, you'll see graphically that, yeah, it is kind of next gen. Mm-hmm. They could have gone above and beyond, but they kind of kept it low.
Well, of course, they also had
it
these...
It still looks good, though.
They also had these things displayed on HDTVs over there, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so,
yes.
Of course, it's going to be infinitely better.
But the thing is that the internet feed was also as high resolution as it could be, and, like, I think people were smart enough to account for the fact that, yes, this wasn't on a high-def TV.
Oh, okay.
And on internet feeds, like, sometimes you really can tell the next-gen difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll try to make it as high resolution as possible, mm-hmm. and you'll see it, and they'll display it on a high-resolution display. So, you know, you kind of give it the benefit of the doubt, but sometimes, like, you look at stuff and you're like, this isn't next-gen.
Right.
And then you realize, oh, well, it's on an internet feed.
Right.
So,
right.
I think that's about all we saw. Is there anything else of note now that we saw?
Time Crisis Mobile.
Time Crisis Mobile. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the graphics were cool and everything.
The graphics were cool, but the way it works, Tony, is that they divide the screen into 9 sections to mimic the keypad of your phone.
Oh, God.
And when an enemy pops out in that appropriate section, uh-huh. you press that key on your phone. So you're sitting there pressing 4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4- for now, which is the funniest thing, because you're not, like, the whole purpose of playing a cell phone game is to be able to play it with
right,
my
right.
Hand. So it was just like, dude, what the fuck? But, I think that's about all we saw. One more notable thing is that I got to sit down with Mark, and I think I said this already, but just to reiterate, I sat down with Mark Coates, who is the program manager for Xbox Live Arcade. Basically, as a program manager, he oversees several different smaller projects under the Xbox Live Arcade.
Very good of him to
wing.
Give you the time too.
Yeah, he was great to sit down with me and speak with me. It was very friendly. He's very open about answering questions. Obviously, there's some things that he really couldn't answer, mm-hmm. you know, specifically, but he offered as much as he could. Mm-hmm. He actually is going to try to get us put on a PR list.
Sweet.
So that we can get some, you know, finally get some industry news on our own instead of having to rip off of GameSpot and Joystick and stuff like that. So it was very much appreciated, Mark, for that. And the interview is transcribed. It will be going up on the site soon. Within the next couple of hours, mm-hmm. And I will also encode the interview itself for audio. So anyone who wants to hear the interview and not read it can listen to it. But yeah, that's about it for Digital Life. Any remarks, Al, Tony, Ethan? Oh wait, you're gone. That's right. Ha!
No, I think it sounded like a blast. I wish I could have been there, and I definitely would have been there if I didn't have other things going on, because it sounds like a fun show.
Right. It is going on today, so if you wanted to get in...
No, I can't do it today. See, this whole weekend was shot, so...
Oh, okay.
You know, so it's just poor timing. So, what am I going
to
do?
They'll be back next year from September 27th to September 30th. Mm-hmm. They already set the date. They had a big banner outside, so anyone interested in going...
Yeah,
I thought that was funny. Yeah, anyone interested in going, get prepared for September 27th, September 30th. Hopefully they'll have a lot more game stuff. With E3 gone, hopefully this will become one of the new places to have people try out new stuff. Mm-hmm. Al, is there anything else that you saw or that you want to comment on before we take off?
No.
Good one, Al.
BAM! All right, thanks everyone for tuning in. We still didn't get any mail, but that's fine because you're all a bunch of shitheads. I don't want mail.
You know, you don't instill
my...
Like, if you did have people interested, they'd be like, listen to the podcast. They'd be like, oh, what's that address again? Oh, what are you calling me?
Mailbag!
I think that mail that was meant for you, Tony, buying laptops from all kinds of different people.
Oh, God. Let me ask you something. How the hell did that happen?
They just found our domain name and spammed everything. But
retards.
I will say for anybody who is an intelligent person out there listening to this, my friends included, if you're interested in sending email, the address is mailbag@trygames.net. If you are listening to this and you're a shithead, dumbass, non-intellectual piece of crap, and that still includes all my friends who have never sent this email before, fuck you all. I hate you. You don't support little efforts. I play nice on IM, but I really hate all of you. So go to fucking hell. For Ethan, who is thankfully gone, Al and Tony, I have been that guy.